Four from your guitar. We're hanging out with Yvette Young of Covet. Yvette, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
That was phenomenal, and it was just like something you just, you know, just casually do. That was beautiful.
Thanks.
Before we talk about technique and all that stuff, we got to dive right into the guitar talk. Let's talk about this sparkly, as Perry would say, it's perfect for like a fisher boat. It caught some fish on that sucker.
Yeah, definitely.
How did you get to be a Talamon player, and how did you get this sweet color?
Well, I started out just playing Telecasters. I have a Talamon version of this. It's the first Talamon I ever received from Ibanez. Mm-hmm. It has like the lipstick pick of the Tele configuration thing. I think they're Bill Lawrence, what are they called? I'm blanking on the name of the...
I'm not well versed in Bill Lawrence, so I can't assist you in this one.
I will get back to you on that.
Someone in the comments will know.
I'm blanking out on the name. It's like a really easy word. Anyway, there were like nice hand-bound Bill Lawrence pickups. I actually cannibalized the pickups from my old, I had an SX Tele that I was playing. My friend Ethan Dillard from Louisiana traded me that guitar for a drum machine because I didn't have money to buy a guitar and I wanted to play electric.
Uh-huh.
So we did the trade, and then I loved those pickups so much. When Ibanez approached me, I was like, is there any way we could cannibalize the pickups out of this guitar and like put them into a Talamon? So that's why they put the Bill Lawrence pickups in the first one. And then I was playing that one for a while, and then at NAMM, I needed to borrow a guitar for a demo, and I was like, Mike, like, can I please borrow one of the Talamons from your booth? Like, I don't care which one, I just need to do a demo.
Yeah.
So I borrowed one that was it has these pickups, the Seymour Duncan 5-2 Strat set, and it was like a sunburst one.
Mm-hmm.
And I played it, and I just loved how it played, and I loved the tone that I got of it so much. I loved how it worked with the Vox amp I was playing out of so much that I just told him, wait, from now on, can I just have like the Strat configuration set in all my guitars? So the rest of the guitars I have the Seymour Duncan set.
Cool, and when you, as you played in, you started on the bridge, which that one will live in Perry's recycle bin of footage, but you switched to the neck pickup. Do you feel more comfortable in the neck, or is it when it comes to tapping and that type of stuff, or is it just kind of you let the music talk to you and where the pickups should be and how it sounds?
So I find that I get the most dynamic range when I actually play on this pickup setting, the neck. But it's kind of noisy. Like, single coils are just really noisy pickups.
Yeah.
And live, I can show you right now, like...
Yeah, that's at 60 cycle.
Yeah, so I usually just switch it down and it like gets a lot quieter. Sometimes I run a noise gate, but you know, rock and roll, punk rock. Yeah, actually people have been remarking, they're like, I love your single coil, huh? I'm like,
yeah.
It's kind of a funny comment I get. But yeah, I find that for tapping and stuff, I kind of enjoy like the wider sound of having it on the setting. It just sounds fuller. And then this is for like, if I want to play something a little more delicate and quiet.
It's bouncy. Like the tone that you use, it's reminiscent of like Toe, or obviously you collaborated with Mario from Chan, so it's like real bouncy and bubbly, almost like a Nintendo like from the 90s soundtrack to a video game.
Yeah, if I were to describe my favorite tone, I would say it's like mostly clean, but okay, I really depend on touch and like how delicately I play for I guess achieving the tone that I have. Mm-hmm. You know that saying like tones on the fingers?
Yeah.
Like, I really do believe that. I feel like I obviously don't use a pick. Usually when I play clean, I play really delicately to get like that kind of sparkly, twinkly sound.
Mm-hmm.
But then I want to really dig in and like push my amp sometimes. So I do that. I feel like on this setting, I get the most amp breakup, and I really kind of like that, like almost like it's like on the edge of clean, but it's a little bit gainy.
Yeah.
And like when you do minor seconds, it kind of has that like overtone that rings out. It's really nice.
Can you show this real quick? Just kind of what you're describing?
Yeah. So it's like, my reverb's on. I love that.
It's very bell-like, but like you said, right in the fringe of where things start to get hairy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's like, I don't like things to be too distorted unless I'm like intentionally wanting it to be like a really like gross, gritty section.
There's always room for grossness.
Yeah.
Well, second guitar you got here is another Talman. Is there anything special different about that? Is it set up for different tunings or what makes that one get into the set? Is it just a backup?
It has my dog's ashes in it.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
My gosh.
I'm just kidding. No,
caught me off guard there, but.
Sorry, you can cut that out.
No, we're keeping it. I want my face.
I wanted to start a rumor that. No, it's just orange. It's orange. It has the exact same pickups in it. But you know what's really funny? Okay, again, you know, people debate that, like, guitars, that wood doesn't matter. Uh-huh. That, like, it's all about the pickups. But I feel like wood does matter. It influences tone because, like, you know, these are the exact same guitar, but they sound different.
Different fretboard, so yeah.
Exact same hardware, exact same pickups, everything, same strings. But that one, I feel like it just sounds a little different. I love it still. It's not, like, bad different.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's your dog, so.
Yeah, it's my dog. I feel my dog. I never even had a dog, so.
Someone else's dog, I guess.
Yeah, my neighbor's dog.
What strings do you run on either one of these guitars?
Right now I have a Daddario. It's like the NYXL.
Okay.
I have the I think it's like the extra heavy set.
Oh, all right.
I used to play 13s for a while.
Damn.
At home, I like playing 13s just because I feel like, number one, it helps with like getting a nice tapping tone.
Yeah.
But also because I play piano, my fingers are just really like, I just have strong fingers. I hit really hard to get like the nice tapping tone, so sometimes a result of that is just like things getting bent out of tune, and I want to be really intentional for when I do that, so having heavier strings helps me avoid bending things out of tune and having strings like pop off. But I recently downgraded to 12s just because they were really chewing up my fingers every night. Like on tour, I just have like huge blisters, so 12s will do.
And what about the Strandberg? Is that's a 7 string, correct?
Uh-huh.
And is there any specific song like that gets used for, or any new material that you're working on?
No new material, but definitely in our current set, it gets used on 2 songs.
Okay.
It's like our first 2 songs.
All right. And is that anything you painted? Because I know that you definitely are artistic.
Do you want me to
paint it? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I painted this.
I'll hold it for you.
Oh, thanks. I approached Ola and asked, hey, can I paint a Strandberg body? And he was so generous and gracious and nice, so I kind of wanted to do something that was like a dreamy cloudscape, like the antithesis of like metal.
Yeah, but it almost is a visual for kind of a lot of your guys' songs in a way that I feel like your music's very atmospheric and kind of take people to the clouds in a way.
Yeah, definitely. I had a specific song in mind when painting this one.
What song?
Falcor. You know the scene where he's in the clouds, the luck dragon? Falcor is like a dog dragon thing, for those of you who don't know. He's in a movie called Neverending Story.
Classic.
Yeah, I was thinking about him.
Atreyu.
Yeah, we have a song called Atreyu, too.
And I know that Toe is an influence, as I brought up earlier, about alternative tunings and open tunings. Which is kind of currently where you're at with this guitar? Where are we at tuning wise with this one?
Oh, it's funny you mentioned that. Two Moons by Toe. Yeah. So this is a Toe tuning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And is that kind of like your home base, or do you have a lot of tunings you go to throughout a set or a song? I mean, obviously not song, but different songs, different tunings.
So I used to have way more tunings, but then I kind of got annoyed with that playing live.
Yeah.
I don't want to roll up with like 12 guitars just like flexing on everyone like, hey, I've got a guitar for every tuning. No, I don't want to do that. That's ridiculous. So I do tune like in between sets. I have these 3 guitars currently. All my tunings, like if I do vary it, it'll be just like lowering a string by a half step or like maybe like 2 steps or something. And yeah, currently I work. Do you want me to like list my tunings?
Well, can you, for the uninitiated that don't know the song by Toe, what can you break down exactly what the tuning is right here with your capo?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'll take the capo off so you can hear what pitch. Actually, I'm gonna really quick tune. So
just to make sure.
Yeah, just because I don't want to have it sound all wonky.
And while you're doing that, I'll try to confuse you. The question is, do you enjoy having alternative tunings? Because I know that like sometimes people can say that it opens up doors, but it also kind of colors before you even start creating it already has like a almost like an accent, you could say, or color limited range because of what chord is already being strummed when the all six are hit open.
I actually enjoy having that color be there. So I used to play in standard, like when I first picked up guitar. Mm-hmm. I did like chords and I played in like church and stuff like that. And I found that everything I played kind of just sounded like other stuff that was already out there. And it was hard for me to break out of the whole shape thing.
Yeah.
So I found bands like Tone American Football when I was in college, and I was like, oh, like these bands sound really cool. I wonder like how they get that distinct sound. And I discovered that they actually play in different tunings. So mm-hmm. I started experimenting with my own tunings and like copying some of theirs and writing my own material. And I found that like it kind of felt more like my voice and like more what I wanted to hear. So the way I write is actually, I don't use theory or anything. Like I have a piano theory background, but for me it always kept me in a box. And I think it's important to know what you're doing, and it's important to like have the ear for it. Like ear training is really important. I went through a lot of that. But what I do is I actually sing most of my melodies, and then I just find the main melodic line I want, and then I hear the harmonies like while I'm playing it, and then I like try to figure out how to play that. So for me, I always, whenever I write something, I always write something I can't play yet, and then I teach myself by just repetition for like 5-6 hours.
Is that where your piano background obviously gets influenced into your guitar playing by having, like, obviously you're using your hands, but also your right hand is very like melodic driven, whereas the left hand almost is accompanying that, whereas, you know, I guess typical guitar playing wouldn't necessarily be like that, but your right hand is very driving the force of the song, and the left hand's almost just trying to keep up.
Yeah, I usually use, okay, so I view my lower strings kind of like my left hand on a piano.
Okay.
The top strings are my right hand, but you're allowed to like cross over, just like in piano. You're allowed to like go on each other's territory. And I started playing this way because when I first started playing guitar, I didn't have a band. I just kind of played music alone in my room, but I always wanted to sound fuller than just like a single, you know, lead line or something. So I started finding ways with open tunings and tapping and like, you know, finger style to play implied bass lines while I'm playing the main melodic line. So that way it's not just like, you know, a simple one note monophonic line.
Yeah.
It's polyphonic. A lot of the music I really love is polyphonic. Like classical music and stuff. There's like Baroque music is extremely polyphonic. There's like six voices going on at the same time. It's insane. So that's always something I aspired to. And it's kind of fun, just like, you know, every time you teach yourself something new, like a new riff or something, it feels like you get better at guitar because you all of a sudden have this new skill. Like sometimes I do things that like I think are impossible just out of necessity, because it's like I want to get this note up here. How can I do that? Oh, I have to do like a crazy jump or something with one hand, or I have to like hold this note while I go up here. And it's like I wouldn't do that normally if I was comfortable with it, but it's like out of necessity I try to find new ways to play certain things.
When you mentioned that you learned guitar and you were kind of almost accompanying yourself, now you're in a band format and you have to think about bass and drums, is that restricting in terms of your creativity and how things have to work within a musical relationship of three instruments, or is it almost invigorating being able to like collaborate with musicians that you have in your band?
I love it. I think it teaches me to think more big picture, because when you're a solo guitarist just writing, you start focusing on things like technicality, complexity, and I feel like some people have in guitar culture there's this whole like complex where it's like, oh, if it's not like shreddy or like notey, it's not cool and nobody cares.
People aren't like that.
Yeah.
No.
It can be kind of like a sport sometimes, and I feel like, you know, when I first started out, I was always like, oh, but like this riff isn't like flashy, so, you know, maybe it's not as good as this other riff. But then, like, I think that's, you absolutely shouldn't think like that. Playing in a band taught me how to hold back and like leave a lot more space, because I'm considering like, oh, this is a section for bass to shine. Like, I want David, my bass player, to have an open section where he can do some like cool reverby things with his pog, or like his like effects, his fuzz pedal. Like, you know, some of these effects that you have, like, they're not gonna sound good unless you give them space. Like if you're just like sweep picking with the delay, I mean, it's gonna sound like a jumbled mess.
Yeah.
If, you know, reverb and stuff, like to really appreciate the decay and like the tail of the reverb, like sometimes you just gotta like hold back. So I think playing in a band, playing with effects, taught me to just like hold back and focus more on big picture things and focus more on songwriting and textures and, you know, being a unit, being a team.
Cool. Well, I took us down a tangent. I apologize for the viewers. What tune are you currently in? And then we're gonna start talking about your Toyota combo amp over here.
So I'm in F-A-C-G-B-E.
Okay.
That sounds like.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It just starts already in a very approachable, pleasing tone to your ear.
I'm a visual artist, and whenever people ask me about stuff, I always relate it to like, you're working on a canvas that isn't white, it's pre-work. There's like a wash of color on it already.
Yeah.
So it can be inspiring, like, you know, sometimes if I'm painting or something and it's just a white canvas, I'm like, well, I'm just gonna go in my comfort zone and just do what I already know how to do.
Yeah.
But if there's like already something on it, it's like I learn to work with what's already there. Not to mention from a technical standpoint, some of these open tunings make certain shapes more accessible and like ergonomic. Sometimes like, you know, I'll have tunings where there's like an octave here, so I can easily do like two note slides that are just already like a pre-worked octave. I don't have to worry about that. Sometimes if I'm like, I can let open strings ring out to like fill in certain riffs, but that's only if the riff is in the same key as the tuning, of course. But it is also easy to get stuck, so sometimes like to challenge myself, if I'm playing too much of the same mode or same style, if I'm using the same intervals, I just like kind of change one of the strings and it kind of breaks me out of my comfort. Yeah.
Cool. Well, as I alluded to, we have a Toyota combo that we'll throw up a photo of. Seriously though, you've always been kind of an AC player. AC30,
yes.
AC15, AC10.
Yes.
Currently we're looking at AC30. What do you dig about those?
I just really love the way it interacts with the pickups that I play. I have an AC10 at home. I think it's like my favorite amp. I've also played like Benson amps and they're really good as
well.
They're so good. Really great clean tone. Anyway, but yeah, back to the AC family. I find that they have enough headroom for me to stay clean, but then you can also like break up really nicely. Like some of my pedals interact beautifully with this. So it's just
definitely
been
a good pedal platform.
Yes, for sure.
Cool. Well, alluding to that, pedal platform, let's talk pedals.
Sweet.
Where do you want to start? Well, I'll ask you where to start, and then I'll tell you where I should start, because I do not see a lo-fi junkie, and I know that you've mentioned that several times in interviews. Why is that not on there, and what has replaced it?
So I love the lo-fi junkie. I'll preface this with, I love that pedal. It's so sick. We recorded with it. It's pretty much on, like, every song. I had to hold myself back. I'm like, no, you've already recorded, like, half the album with it. It's got that really nice tape-sounding warble.
Yeah.
But it's a bit noisy for my live board, and especially because I'm using these single coils that are already just like...
Already kind of doing
that.
Yeah,
already really... It just it adds to the noise. So it's kind of become more of like a studio tool I use at home.
Okay.
I do a lot of my videos on Instagram and stuff. I'll use it just because at a low volume, you don't notice it. But when you're cranking it, like I don't really rely on monitoring right now. Hopefully one day I can have in-ears. But right now I use just like my stage volume as... I just stand really close to my amp, so like because I have to crank that amp, it's just really noticeably loud. And it's been replaced by the Walrus Julia, which is less noisy, does the same thing. It's a great chorus, vibrato. Cool. I love it.
I guess I'll lead us down the path. We'll start with the Warden. I know that's a compressor.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you have on all the time to assist with your kind of making sure all the notes ring out evenly when you're tapping and stuff?
Yeah, I will say that I feel like I never practice with it just because I feel like it makes you kind of too dependent on it, kind of like smooths out everything, and it's important to be able to like play without it and still sound really smooth. I use it mostly as a boost, actually. It kind of helps me push my amp even more, and then also I like using the attack knob just to get a little more punch
cool.
in some of the notes. The sustain is really nice, too.
What about the bass octave? I can't say that I've seen that on too many guitar pedal modes.
Oh, it's cool. It, like, widens out.
Let's hear it.
Okay, yeah. Actually, this tuning, again, is perfect. I use it kind of to, like, be a contrast to certain sections. Like, if it's, like, a kind of, like, a more lead guitar line, it works the best monophonically. So,
gotcha.
Like, with chords, it gets kind of muddy. But, like, with, like, single notes, kind of, like, makes it sound bigger. So I use it to kind of, like, make sections sound fat. Cool. So like without, it would sound like, so with it on, it's like,
it's like, it. You can hear the octave trailing it, but it's almost adds a little, like you said, some dirt and some like little push to the amp too.
Exactly. Yeah. It kind of helps enhance like those minor seconds again. I just love how they sound with a little bit of gain, and it adds like a bed, like it's an octave pedal, so it adds like a lower octave to it. This makes it sound huge.
Cool. And moving next door is looks. I'm not familiar with this pedal or company at all, so you have to enlighten me. Is with the Geisha artwork.
Yeah. This is the Ground Control Audio Amaterasu. I'm going to butcher this pronunciation. I'm sorry. Amaterasu. I'm like saying it all quiet. Amaterasu Bright preamp.
Okay.
It's a preamp pedal, but I use it kind of like a gain pedal. It's like, it sounds...
It just has a single knob and then the switch.
Yeah, a single knob. It's just gain, and then there's like a bright setting and a dark setting.
Okay.
So the dark setting I feel like is good for like huge chords, and then the bright setting I use when I want to still stand out in the mix but sound like really gainy.
Cool.
I love it. It's like such a simple pedal, but it's never left my board.
And what about the Longsword? I've never seen that before as well.
It's also a gain pedal. I just received that this tour, so I'm still learning the twists and turns of it, but it's basically like a gain pedal, and it has built-in EQ, which is really valuable, I think, because some gain pedals I feel like just don't really cut the mix a lot. It sounds muddy, but you have the power to like, you know, crank the highs if you want to, and it's also a clean boost as well. And what's cool is like when you engage the gain pedal, if you need it to like cut through even more, you can like
with the boost, it doubles. Can we hear that real quick?
Yeah. Let me see what I can play in it. Okay, I'll just play like the main riff, like. Kind of like that.
Just a slight little push.
Yeah.
But yeah. Keeps the AC30 character.
Yeah.
And do you use the Ditto looper much within the live band? Because I didn't know that you guys looped over each other. Is that something you just do to like interlude in between songs?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. But it's actually come really clutch when I'm like playing a riff and I realize that something's wrong on my board. So like a lot of our stuff kind of repeats, you know, like
Drone-y,
it's like one
yeah.
riff that's like going on for a bit. So if I have a chance to do that, I'll like loop it and I'll like fix it and then I'll like go back into it. But it's kind of scary because if you do an imperfect loop, you're just stuck with your ineptitude.
That,
you're just
yeah. That mistake just keeps coming back at you. And
yeah.
You hear it louder each time.
Oh yeah, definitely. but good thing there's a mix knob.
Yeah.
I use it for interludes. Like I go out of one of our songs, Glimmer, and then force drums to it, and kind of it gets like more chaotic, and then I just turn it off immediately.
Cool. And you got the Carbon Copy.
Yeah.
Just kind of a standard. The Deluxe obviously has some more options. Has the double side.
Yeah. It's just a great pedal. I think it's an analog delay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just, you know, use it to make stuff sound all lush and spacey.
Yeah. And the Fathom, is that a reverb, I believe?
Mm-hmm. It actually kind of does something similar as this one, but I actually, instead of changing my settings while I play, I prefer just to have two reverbs.
Makes it easier.
Yeah, this one's a short delay. A short reverb, short tail reverb. And this one's kind of like a more long tail one. And then I just have it like higher in the mix here as well. And they both have this cool sustain knob so that you can like play a note. Like, you want me to show
yeah,
you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So it's like...
Would you say between the Walrus and the Maris, are those one of those on at all time? You're pretty reverb heavy? Or are there parts where you don't have any reverb?
I use it kind of like first written songs. Like our song Glimmer has reverb on the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-Dawn, I switched it on at the end because I want it to sound like fuller.
Yeah.
So I kind of use it to just build layers sometimes. I use this one in like choice sections to make it sound dreamier. Like our song Falcor, there's like a section that sounds like it's in the clouds, and I throw that bad boy on.
And where's the avalanche run come into play? Because it kind of does this, it is, I know it's a delay of sorts, but it also has reverb settings on it too, right?
Yeah.
So how's that get used in comparison to the other two?
I love this pedal a lot. Actually, I really, really love the swell setting on it, but I actually don't use it on any of the Covet stuff yet. It's more, I originally had this as a studio tool, and I have like this riff that I wrote with it that was really pretty. But in the context of my band, I kind of just use it as like a traditional delay, but in a different decay. And okay. I use it on just like the normal setting. The reverse setting is really cool, but I think it's cooler if you just play like something not notey. Just like, again, that's an example where it's like, to really maximize the use of the pedal, I feel like it's better to just like lay back.
And this is the pedal we've recently seen you demonstrate online.
Yeah.
This is pretty new to the world as well, is the Somersault.
Yeah.
What do you dig about that?
And
now
so
that you've kind of, you know, after the video, you've bought the pedal and now it's yours. So is it something, what have you found about the pedal that you spent some more time with it? Really enjoy.
It's basically, it does something similar to the Julia. It's like a modulation pedal, lo-fi modulator pedal, coarse vibrato. I guess I use it for my chorus sound currently. Like we have a new song called Parachute, and it has chorus on like 70% of the time, and the ending is just I slap the preamp on to get like a really gainy kind of like lead guitar sound. I like it because it's pretty, you can get like a really like warbly tape sound out of it, which is beautiful. Like, and there's like a lo-fi setting too.
Can we hear it just a little bit?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, too many people might not even be aware of this pedal.
Okay, so.
Cool.
That's my chorus sound.
It's like 80s.
But like, yeah, it totally.
I feel like it's like a John Hughes movie.
I love it. I've been like obsessed with that sound recently. I think a lot of our new stuff is gonna be chorus heavy. Hope you're ready. and then I just swapped it to the lo-fi setting so you can hear the difference. I love this setting with the tone knob rolled down.
There's almost like a keyboard quality to it.
Yeah, it's like, cool. People mentioned that it almost didn't sound like a guitar anymore when I use it live. So this is offset. You can make it sound like, I'm just going to crank these two knobs so you can hear. This is like, I think how much it, the pitch has changed, I guess. So it's like,
That's the weirdness.
The offset is really high right now. So that's a sticky sound. That,
and you're in tune because you just tuned up, so that's what they're hearing is the warble.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you can hear that like, whoa, it feels all dizzy. This is a speed knob, it's cool. So, also you can choose between like a, I think this is like the sine wave and the square wave.
Mm-hmm.
So, I haven't really found an application for the square wave yet. It's really cool though. And this is like a knob where if you press it, it basically cranks the speed all the way up. So you can do that like on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hear that, I guess this setting is a good one to demonstrate it on. So it's like, let me switch it back to the normal setting. Yeah.
Not something you would want to have on all the time, but kind of cool to like have a particular chord to like ring out like that.
Yeah. Oh, it would be the way I imagine using it in like a future song would be maybe like playing a bunch of like chords and then like having one and just like, it's almost like a stutter pedal.
Yeah.
It feels like a stutter pedal. Yeah, I think there's like a stutter pedal called the Rapatio or something. It's pretty sick. It kind of is similar sustain kind of stutter thing. That's how I use it.
And the I was just gonna say the last one you got there is the 10 band. Is that just to help pump out frequencies while you're tapping?
I use this on my Strandberg because I have Sirs in there. They're like humbuckers, so they just have like a different. They're much hotter and bassier. For some reason, my Strandberg is just like the bass frequencies like really ring out. So yeah. I kind of use it to like push certain frequencies and like push the bass ones down a bit. It just helps my sound person not have to do anything.
Well, that's also very kind of you.
Different venues sometimes have different, like the walls kind of like influence what frequencies ring out. So sometimes yeah. I'll like dial down certain ones if I feel like I'm clashing with my bass player or my drummer.
Well, that makes sense. It's like you're saying you're always looking for the bigger picture too.
Yeah, I received this one just to try out and I really, really enjoyed how I can basically sculpt my tone even more. It's like the hands of my tone are like on my board and not in like someone else's hands.
Yeah, so. Your own little, front of house.
Yeah, cool. It's helpful.
Well, Yvette, appreciate taking the time to show us all this stuff.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you guys. This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar.